Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. I'm so happy to be with everybody tonight again. It's another Thursday evening. Yesterday was my birthday, and I woke up, and I'm happy to be on the planet. I just came into my studio, and actually my computer, my laptop, was doing its own thing. You know how they put all these updates on automatically, so it kind of put me off, and I'm behind a few minutes. But my very special guest this evening should be appearing any moment in my queue so that I can queue him into the studio. He's probably tried to call before, and I actually talked to him on my cell and said, give me an extra 5 minutes. It looks like, you know, I'm not going to be on the air. So he should be calling in. Scott, hi, Scott, if you're out there, call in to the guest line at 213-943-3559 as soon as possible, because we're on the air live. So I'll just talk to you for a few minutes, and then hopefully he's going to show up any minute. I just want to say, how excited I am to be doing radio. It's like every day I have some new experiences. On my birthday, it was actually on the 8th, the day before my birthday, I was kind of tired because I'm a night owl and I stay up really late at night and, you know, thinking about my shows to come and what guests I want to have next and organizing my list of promotions, people that I promote. And I saw my calendar that there was going to be a big concert right up the street from me. I mean, it's even within walking distance if I wasn't so lazy. But I didn't go up there. I did go up there. What am I saying? I'm waiting for Scott. Come on, Scott, let's call in, please. I'm waiting for you to call in so we can start our show. In any case, I thought, well, do you really want to go out up there? Because I was very busy and all day and a little bit tired, but I went anyway, and it was such a wonderful experience. It's the Greater Shore Symphony Orchestra, and they're an orchestra that's like 50 years old. They're going to be celebrating their anniversary, and they just got some great news, but I'm not going to tell you about it because I will be telling you about that at a later date. It's very exciting, and I'm very happy for them. And Scott, where are you, Scott? You know, I think I maybe better turn my cell on and give him a little jingling and see what's happening. I'm not sure if he's calling the wrong number or what happened, but we just spoke a few minutes ago, and I alerted him that the show would start a little bit late. So while you're waiting, let me get my cell phone going and give him a call. So I hope everybody's having a really great winter. Can you believe this weather? It's like unbelievable. It's like I can't believe it. I feel like I'm back in San Diego. It's been so warm. My dad actually said, God bless him, he's gone for a long time now. My dad passed away in 1999. In any case, to make a long story short, no, it might have been 91 now. It was a long time ago. He used to say, in like a lamb, out like a lion. And I'm hoping, saying to myself, Dad, please don't have that be it, because although for my birthday was the 9th, I bought myself a new winter coat. And it's a fun fur, because I don't wear fur, real fur. It's a fun fur. And I absolutely love it, and it's really warm, and it's got a beautiful satin lining. And so if it does get cold, I am prepared. Now, hold on, folks, because multitasking is, I haven't worked in a really long time, and multitasking is a little difficult. But you're going to be hearing me call Scott right now, because I'm calling him on my cell phone to see, Scott, where are you, dear? You have to call into the studio. So you hear my phone ringing, and you'll hear me talk to Scott. And, oh, here he is. Oh, he's just coming in now. Here we go. Hold on. Never mind. Well, hello, Scott. You know what? I can hang up now. I was just telling my audience, we're live already. The show went live about 5 minutes ago. So
okay.
I was just blabbing away about, you know, different things that are happening in my life. So I want to welcome to everyone, my special guest for this evening is Mr. Scott Brandt. He is a singer, a songwriter, and a recording artist. And Scott just has out some phenomenal new music. And so without further ado, I'm going to welcome Scott to the show, because it wasn't his fault. I called him and I said, Scott, give me an extra few minutes. My computer was doing weird things, and now I have to, I was calling you on my cell, so I have to turn off my cell so we don't get disturbed by that. So, Scott,
no problem.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy
How
birthday.
How are you doing?
How are you doing tonight? I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Very well.
That's great.
Right. I just want to say that when I read your bio, and, of course, we did that show several months ago at the Saint, I was very impressed with the fact that your very first guitar you bought at a garage sale for $8, and you were 10 years old. So that's really something. That's a really good story, and that you started that young and had interest in music. But tell me, I have one question. Who influenced you the most when you were growing up, and why?
Elvis Presley. Because that was on the record player or on the TV the whole time I was growing up. And, you know, since I was like 4 years old, I could really do an awesome Elvis imitation with my mother's hairbrush and a tennis racket
guitar.
You know, I used to hop up on the coffee table and, you know, when my mom had her friends over in the morning for coffee and stuff, because I had older brothers and sisters that were in school. So she'd play, you know, anything Elvis or Chuck Berry or, you know, Johnny Cash. And I'd get up on the coffee table and I'd give my mom and her friends a little show at the age of like 4 or 5 years old. Didn't know what I was doing or, you know, I mean, you can't really play a tennis racket, but it looked good for a four-year-old. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you must have photographs of that somewhere. You have to put them online on a TBT night, you know, the Throwback Thursday photos. That would be so cool. I remember seeing a photograph of Vinnie Lopez with his first set of drums that he got for Christmas. And so if you can pull out some of those photos, put them on for us. We'd love to see them. I know I would love to see them.
The funny story is the actual guitar that I bought from the yard sale, I don't think there's any pictures of that. However, I traded that acoustic guitar that I bought for an electric guitar, and somewhere there is a picture of that guitar, and I'm not actually playing it, but one of my sister's friends is, and I'm kind of like really close to it, like while he's playing it, so I'm like, don't mess up my guitar, I'm only 11, but I'll kick your butt, you know?
Right.
So,
it's too bad you don't still have that guitar, huh?
Yeah.
I know. I wish sometimes that I had kept my first guitar, and I didn't start anywhere near that you did. I was 18, and I'll never forget it. I was sitting on the porch with my brother Billy, who had started playing when he was very, very young, and he taught me my first, like, three or four chords on the guitar. And from that point on, and they were very simple. They were not bar chords. They were the very simple, simplified chords. And from that, I just started, like, writing music, because before that, I wrote poetry. And it was really amazing, and I wish I had it. The first guitar I had was a nylon string guitar. And then I bought a big Aquila Favilla that I still have. And then I bought another guitar in California that I wish I had, and it was a prototype of the Takamine, and it was gorgeous, and it was an electric acoustic, the very first one, and I sold it to a collector, and I really regret selling it, because it was like beautiful wood, and it was purple over it, and the body shape was like a Les Paul, and I just kick myself in the butt every time I think, why didn't you keep that guitar, Nancy? I mean, but the thing was, it was hard for my fingers to play, and I wasn't used to electric guitar, and now I play an electric guitar. But anyway, Scott, I want to talk about you, really. I really do, because I love your songs, and I have been bragging about you now, because I had not heard them up until a few days ago. when I finally, I'm a busy girl, and I finally, you know, listened to them. And I knew you were really talented because I heard you live. But when I listened to your recording and to the songs again and really listened in my studio, I was like, wow, this guy is phenomenal. So, and I love it that your mom was so influential. So just tell us all about your music experiences. I know I wrote a lot in the promo, but just blab, just tell us whatever. Don't blab just because you don't blab like I do, but, you know, talk away.
It's funny because I grew up in the, you know, at the tail end of the 70s, and I had a brother that was totally into disco. I had one sister that was into Barry Manilow, and I had another sister that was into Led Zeppelin and the Grateful Dead. And
fabulous.
And between those three, my mother was an oldies fanatic. So, you know, anywhere between, you know, Buddy Holly and all those guys. So, you know, basically I got so schooled on every type of music at such a young age. The really cool thing was, I learned how to play by ear, and it was kind of accidental. We couldn't really, you know, muster up the money for guitar lessons and stuff. And, you know, basically I was helping out my mom because she was a single mom. And, you know, whatever money I got,
bless her.
I was mowing lawns and raking leaves and shoveling snow. And that's how I made my money. And
good for you. You got a really good work ethic, and that's a very nice thing that you did to help your mom out. That wasn't an easy thing, I'm sure.
Yeah,
that wasn't
an easy feat. Right. I got an easy guitar playing book where, you know, it showed you like popular songs and, you know, some of the songs, you know, back then, you know, were a little bit, you know, more on the, you know, more rock side, you know, I don't know, if I was to say like the Knack, like that song, My Sharona, was out back then when I first started.
Oh,
like,
yes,
getting,
yes.
Playing, and that was really easy because it went dun 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 dun.
Right, dun 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 dun. I remember it, My Sharona.
Like,
yeah, that was a cool song.
Like, you know what? I don't want to learn that. I want to learn Days to Confuse by Led Zeppelin and like.
Of course.
Arrow. So I could have took the pop route, but I didn't. I took the rock route, and the first song I ever learned how to play on anything, guitar, or anything period, was that descending bass line on Days to Confused off the first Led Zeppelin album. And as soon as I learned that, it was like a horse taken off out of the gate. I ran and started learning how to play, you know, pentatonic scales and bar chords, chords, fifths, you know, diminished chords and different lead patterns and structure. You know, basically Jimmy Page was my adopted father. Jimi Hendrix was my adopted uncle. And Randy Rhoads, Osborne, and Eddie Van Halen were my neighbors. Like, as far as I was concerned, like, those are the only four guys I know. And Eric Clapton was like my mom's friend that came over once in a while and showed me a lick. It was like, you know, I had the best of, I had a record player. And I had a guitar, and that's all I needed back then.
Yeah. Hey, you certainly had a fabulous adopted family, the best in the world, right? The best mentors possible. I mean, having Eric Clapton stop over to show you a new lick, you know, that's pretty cool.
Well,
love
mind,
Eric Clapton.
You know,
love him.
And, you know, so it was just one of those things where as soon as I learned, you know, my way around the neck on the guitar, you know, it was pretty much, you know, I couldn't tell you how many bands I played in. And my mom, God bless her, she's no longer with us, but she put my gear in the back of her Mustang, and off I went to this drummer's house for that bass player.
Oh, wow.
House.
Your mother sounds really cool. I had a Mustang, too. Yeah. I had a 66 blue Mustang. And it had been my sister's, and I bought it from her for like $200. I think I paid her $100, and then I didn't pay another $100 for another 30 years. But anyway, she forgave me. But that car got – I was singing at a club in Deal, called Mr. C's, and he's still around. He owns the restaurant at the Allenhurst Beach Club. But I was singing there, and my sister's name was Peggy Sue, and she would come in, and the minute I would see her, I would start singing Peggy Sue, and she would get all embarrassed. But to make a long story short, that car one night on a really stormy, snowy night, and it had already snowed, and there was a big snowbank right in front, and my Mustang was parked right in front of Mr. C's at the corner on of Norwood Avenue in Deal, New Jersey. It got hit and run and totaled. And I was so upset because I wanted, like, well, unlike my guitar at that age, I thought, well, I'm just going to keep this car forever, and because I loved classic cars even at that early age. But back to you. Go ahead about this. I love your story. And I have to just interject one thing about, it's so amazing to me. I love hearing the stories about who influenced, because it's always a mother or father, sometimes both, or an aunt or an uncle or someone, and that really was the major influence of a person becoming a full-fledged, passionate, hardworking, talented musician like you are. So tell us more.
So I appreciate that very much, by the way, Nancy. Thank you. And
that's true. It's all true.
So we, you know, we got hooked up with a really good drummer, and his name was Jimmy. His mom and my mom, you know, got along like sisters. It was awesome. And then we had our first band, and it was called the White Tiger Band. And we had a female vocalist who was older than us, because at that, now I was a couple of years older. I think I was like maybe 12 or 13, and Jimmy was 13. And we had a bass player and another guitar player, and we had a female vocalist. And we're called the White Tiger Band. And our first gig ever was in at the Sacred Heart Church in Bayhead, New Jersey.
All right. Go to the Catholic schools to rock and roll.
Yeah, right.
I think some of the best musicians in the world came out of parochial schools.
Well, it's funny.
You know,
what
is that song? What is it? We don't need no education, whatever.
I know.
Teachers, leave those kids alone. Go ahead. Don't mind me. I just go off. I go off every now and then.
Just join in, you know. none of us actually went. It was some kind of talent search. And, you know, we did really, really well. And, you know, we got like a trophy and a plaque or something like that. And we each got ribbons. You know, it was back a long time ago. So, you know, I don't have anything from that particular thing. But, you know, once we did that gig, you know, me and Jimmy just, you know, we knew we wanted to do it. And
you got the bug. You got the bug, the entertaining bug, the minute you stepped on stage.
Yeah, and then, you know, we ended up, you know, we couldn't afford to live up in New Jersey anymore. It was just really expensive, and it was tough for my mom. So we moved down to Florida just when things were getting going with me and Jimmy. And, you know, we had this cool groove going. I was Jimmy Page, and he was like John Bonham. You know what I mean? It was amazing. And, so my mom's like, well, you know, we're going to move down to Florida. It's a little bit less expensive down there and stuff like that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, everything's starting to happen. I moved down to Florida. I didn't want to like it. And I have a lot of friends in Florida still from when we lived down there. And let me just tell you something. By the time everything was said and done, within a few weeks, and I met some different guitar players and different drummers, and I still have the best friends of my whole entire life that still live in Florida, still to this day.
That's wonderful. That's really great.
I hooked up with this drummer. His name was Wayne Garrick, and just an amazing
drummer. I like that name. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. And then his parents had this huge house. His dad was a Delta airline pilot. And so they had like this big, beautiful spread out in Florida on a farm, and you know, we had this room where we could just make as much noise as we wanted, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
great.
We were interested in writing songs. I mean, we weren't interested in, you know, playing other people's stuff. So we learned a couple covers, and we started, you know, kind of writing some songs, stuff like that. And then we had another guy come into the band. His name was John. And, you know, he did awesome with us. And then, you know, by the time everything got going down there, something came in up in New Jersey for my mom, like a different job or something.
Oh.
And then she's like, we're moving back to Jersey. And I'm like, no way. Cause,
Cause now
I'm down there.
Murphy's Law. Are you Irish? Do you have any Irish in you or what?
No.
Well, you got some of the Murphy's Law, it sounded like, though. So what happened?
So,
but everything's for a reason. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
so what happened?
So
now you have all this additional extra experience of forming bands and getting it together and working hard and getting... So then you move back here, and what happens? Do you hook up with any of your old players, or did you start all new?
Well, I got together with Jimmy again. And he totally went like Grateful Dead on me. And not that there's anything wrong. Listen, I love the Grateful Dead. I grew up with them in my house. I told you at the beginning of our interview.
Right, exactly.
It's that I wanted to do more upbeat rock stuff, like, you know. And at that time, the music was a little bit heavier. But it wasn't like Springsteen and it wasn't like Bon Jovi. I was trying to do my own thing. And I still was just a guitar player and a writer. I just didn't want to sing at all. I was just like, I just want to be a Jimmy Page. Yeah, I just want to be like a Jimmy Page. I don't want to sing and, you know.
Oh, I thought you had been singing from kind of the, from the beginning. When did you start singing?
Well, in 95, I had a band that was probably one of the most exciting bands I was ever in. We were called 56 Side Effects. And we were playing The Pony. I think we played The Saint when they might have just first opened. We played so many gigs back then, the Brighton. We played everywhere because we had a nice little following and everything. And, you know, we were sending our stuff out to people that would take unsolicited material. In other words, you know, A&R reps, you know, didn't want to know your name if you didn't have management. Well, somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody in the band said, look, you know, there's an A&R guy down at Capricorn Records, and Capricorn likes working with, you know, bands like us. And we weren't quite a garage band. We had a similar sound to, like, Alice in Chains meets Stone Temple Pilots. So we were heavy, but we were also melodic. And we had this amazing singer. His name was Jay. And, again, I hit it off chemistry-wise with this guy, Scotty, who had the same name as me. And we just had this amazing bass player that I grew up with.
Now, did you ever play with Jay Lusardi?
Yeah.
Jay Walker, they call him, Jay Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great bass player.
He's amazing.
His mother, Diane, was my best friend from like 18 years on, all up through our entire lives, and she's still alive. And Stephen was a good friend of mine, they call him the maestro. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal pianist and B3 organ player. He was with Steel Mill for many years. But go ahead with your story, please.
Yeah, so... you know, we ended up having what's called a development deal with Capricorn Records, and they're like, look, we're really interested. We want to bring it down to Georgia, but can you send us some more material? Because we're sending a three-song demo out to like 75,000 different people, and we didn't care who signed us. We just wanted to get signed to get on the road and start touring, playing clubs, doing anything. We knew we wanted to do it. We knew how we wanted to do it, and we just wanted to, you know, get out there and do it. And we recorded three more songs over at Shorefire Recording Studios. And,
I know exactly where it is.
With Joe DeMeo. And now we had six songs. And these six songs were probably pretty much still almost to this day. I don't really write that kind of heavy stuff anymore. But it's some of the best stuff that all of us as a unit ever wrote before in our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're like, look, it sounds great. We want you to come down here, send us another three, four songs. So I wrote drummer. Well, I wrote three more songs, four more songs with the drummer. And now the singer had to put the, you know, the words and the lyrics to the music that me and Scotty were writing. And these were great songs. And
he chose to not move forward with us in the band anymore.
That happens a lot. I'm telling you, I had a deal practically signed, sealed, and delivered with a person I worked with for 2.5 years, and he chickened out on our huge, huge interview with Capitol Records. It was, they were ready to sign us listening to a cassette tape. They were ready to sign us. And we had all the promo. We had an attorney promoter. We were ready to rock and roll, and he got cold feet. And they didn't want to hear anything about Nancy solo by herself. They loved what they heard, and they wanted the package deal. And I'll never forget it. And this poor guy, well, he died very young. He died very young. But what could I do? What could I do? I moved on, and soon after that, I left, and I moved out to California and stayed there for 28 years. But anyway, that happens, and it's unfortunate sometimes. But I just see, well, it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, I'm really happy with what I've done with my music, but... So, all right, so what did you do then?
Well, it wasn't like what you said. You know, we didn't think he was getting cold feet. You know, he just was like...
Oh, no,
like,
no,
well,
I'm not making any kind of analogy. I was just kind of remembered that story about, you know, my experience with someone that kind of didn't move forward.
Right. So that kind of unraveled a little bit. And, you know, the momentum, you know, now the brakes kind of got put on, and, you know, the motivation at everybody, you know, it was just like, everybody's like, yeah. And then it was like, oh, you know?
Yeah, right.
I started another band with a singer, and this band, we had a song. It was on a few different terrestrial radio stations. We were doing really, really well. The band was called Simple Machine, and Scott remembers very well. We were doing amazing. We were playing the Saint. We were playing a bunch of other small clubs. We were playing coffee houses. We were doing a duo with me and Kevin. And Kevin had a really cool, almost like, you know, Al Muser. He called us a Beatlesque dream pop. He said, you guys have your own genre of music. And, you know, the singer, Kevin, he just had this really kind of cool, mellow John Lennon type of feel to him.
Right.
And he wasn't trying to sound anything like Lennon, because he was a huge, like, Jimmy Buffett and Dave Matthews fan. So we don't even know where the Lennon came from. He wasn't trying to sound like him. And we were really, really well. And then that band we put together called Simple Machine, it just kind of imploded after about a year. Members weren't getting along with each other. And me and Kevin and the drummer, Glenn, we still stay in touch to this day, but it just wasn't working out. And I had a really good friend. She came out to see me, and she was trying to promote us, you know, when Simple Machine was happening. And she said, you know something, Scotty? I need you to come out to lunch with me. I want to talk to you. And she lived up in she lived up by Montclair. And, you know, I'm born and raised in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. And
She said,
how about I meet you somewhere in, like, Belmar, Bradley Beach or something? You know, I'll take the train or whatever. And I said, that sounds great. Her name's Judy. And she said, you're going to make it one day, but not the way you're doing it. And I said, why? What do you mean? Like, she said, you got to learn how to start singing. She's just like,
that's great. She helped you out, because you sure are singing now. I got to move you along, too, because we're coming down, believe it. I mean, the time goes so fast. I'm just getting the notice that, well, I can see my on my studio on my laptop how much time we have left. And I just want to say a few things, and I hate to cut you off like this because we could talk for, I'm sure, hours. But I want everyone out there in radio land, I want everybody to listen, that you were nominated as the best male vocalist at the Asbury Park Music Awards at the Stone Pony. And you know, and that you have some fantastic songs out right now. And so I want you to just, like, promote where. And by the way, I want to just, one more thing. I just got to go back for 1 second. It was my birthday, and at your birthday, you have memories and you think about your life and things like that. Well, I do anyway. And I just have to say that this fellow that I did work with, I thought, I heard on the radio the singer, and I said, oh, my God, he finally, he did it, Jonathan. He made it. And then, you know who it turned out to be? The singer, and he was a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and very good-looking guy, 6'2". And it ended up to be Hootie and the Blowfish. It was that Darius fellow that a few years ago went country on us all, you know. And he sounded exactly, John sounded exactly like him. And so the combination of Jonathan's voice along with my voice was really what, and my talent and our combination of our musician, you know, our ability to write really good songs was what, you know, but anyway, that's history. Back to you, Scott. I want everybody to know they have to go, please, folks, go and do yourselves a favor and jump on Reverb Nation or go on wherever Scott's going to tell you and listen to this song. It's called You Don't Love Me. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, phenomenal song. And then he's got some other great songs. And what's the last, the third song that you just put out called?
Released.
One by One or One on One or what was the name of it?
One by One.
One by One. I haven't listened to that. I haven't heard that one yet, but the two songs that I have heard are absolutely phenomenal. Really, really wonderful, wonderful songs, Scott. And your voice is just really right on. And I don't, you know, give out compliments. And I'm not an expert. I'm just, you know, another fellow musician that, like, but when I hear something that's really good, I have to give credit where credit is due. And so it's been a real pleasure to have you on. So if you'd like to promote, you know, where you'll be in the next, you know, where people can come and hear you, where they can find your music, please, this is the time. This is the time to do it.
Okay, well, basically, if you're on Twitter, I'm ScottBrandt2015 on Twitter. Okay, I have three singles that are on iTunes. So you just have to type in Scott Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T. And three of my singles will come up. The first one's my debut single, You Don't Love Me. And then the second one's called I'm Your Man. I Love You Too. And the second called I'm Your Man. And then the third single, actually, it's so brand new that the CDs aren't being done manufactured yet, but you could buy it.
You can download it, right? Yeah.
That's called One by One. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of, you know, airplay from, you know, different stations all over the United States, which is really, really great. The other thing is on Facebook, if you want to type in Scott Brandt Live, that's my like site. You don't have to friend request me or anything like that. You can just go on and hit the button and like it. And I give up almost every day right now. I'm at Surefire Recording Studios in Long Branch, New Jersey. And we are in the middle of recording a song called My Kind of Girl. And,
I love the name of that. I like all the titles of your songs are really good. Really, really catchy. They're catchy, but they're really easy to remember. And I love that. I'm Your Man. I mean, that's really a great title. I like all your titles of your songs. But most of all, I really like to listen to your songs. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Your Man, actually, it was called 3 Days. Because in the song, you know, I say, well, it's been 3 days since I heard your voice. And, you know, the song's about, you know, somebody missing somebody because they made a mistake and made a bad choice. And
It's just a great song.
I called the song 3 days. And then my fiance's mom.
Well, that's good because you know what? There is a song already titled I'm Your Man. And it's every now and then I hear it on TV. I think on a particular channel they play it. I'm not sure which it is, but the fellow has a really low, low voice. And it is called, I'm pretty sure it's called I'm Your Man. So it's better that it's not titled that. But anyway, I'm telling you, Scott, I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show. It was great, you know, being on stage with you with our wonderful friends, Mark and Joan Lipman. Hello there, Mark and Joan Lipman and the Lips. That was such a fun night, and I posted a picture of Kathy and you and me, Kathy, who's just, you know, such a great supporter of local talent. She's a real nice gal, And, you know, she does so much for the local indie artists. So I'm giving Kathy a big shout out, and I'll tell her to go and listen to the show. I'll post it on her page, the interview. But it's been a delightful half an hour speaking with you. But I have to say goodbye, and I have to promote my nonprofits because I used to do hour shows in studio, and now I have a half an hour, and my time goes so fast that I have not been remiss in telling people about my nonprofits, and I have to actually go on and do a promo about them. So at this time, I'm going to say good night, and thank you so much for being on my show. And also, by the way, Scott, when he is not singing and writing or recording songs, you know, he is the owner and CEO of Scott Painting in New Jersey. So if anybody needs a fabulous painter, I know that if he works as hard at his painting as he does on his music, you're going to get a great company. So that's it. Good night, and it's been a pleasure having you, Scott. You can hang up now, or you can listen to the nonprofits, whatever you like. But it's been a delightful show. I've really enjoyed it. And I'll be looking forward to promoting your show all over worldwide like I promoted it before the show. So take care, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Good night, Nancy. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. It's like I said, it's my pleasure. All right. Well, everybody, listen, this has been a really great, grand show, and I just, it really touches my heart to be able to support these local, you know, these, because I grew up in Asbury Park, and I was a troubadour running around the streets with my guitar and singing to complete strangers on the street and in parks, and, you know, I have that heart for the musician, and I have that huge heart for the arts, all types of arts and creative people. And as a matter of fact, it's everyone's creative in their own right. Everyone has their own special talent. It doesn't have to be in the entertainment business. So without, I just want to say this. I want to say that, and I have interviewed each and every one of the people that I'm going to mention now. The Nixons, Helping Hands of New Jersey was one of my first people that I had on my show. Minister Steve Brigham, who is with Lakewood, Tent City in Lakewood. Now I'm getting stuck, and I knew I should have written them down in front of me because there's so many now. Allison Saho, who is a good friend of mine and also on my show, is Recovery, a City of Angels Recovery Radio. And you can, and they're all on Facebook, by the way. Each and every one of these nonprofits have a Facebook page, so you can go right to them. Hometown Heroes is another. Hitting the Streets for the Homeless is another. And I'm just going to have to say that is another. Go to these names, because for me to tell the people that we're on, it's going to take too much time, and I don't want to take advantage of my wonderful studio and my Ryan Radio. So, and then my most recent was Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank. Love the food bank. And I just did a mini promotion on them, and they were so happy for me to do that for them. And I'm always willing to go out there, and that's why I have to start really making sure that I promote at the end of every single show, tell you, if you have any time whatsoever, please get involved with one of these nonprofits in the state of New Jersey. They are all in need of help. My most recent nonprofit that I'm so happy to say that I am a part of physically, I have become, and I just got my T-shirt and my lanyard, so it is official, and I will be starting my very first day tomorrow. I did my class, and I love animals, and I did a cat socialization class, and I am with the Monmouth County SPCA as a volunteer. And, I mean, what a way to start something new and wonderful for the holidays. Because the holidays, after all, I mean, it should be every day of our lives, but unfortunately, it's kind of like we were reminded on the holidays is the time for giving. But I'm trying to, in my elder years, we'll call them, to remember that every day should be a giving day in some way. So I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. This has been a wonderful show. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. I will be doing a promo on all my nonprofits. I hope I didn't leave anyone out. There have been so many that I've been doing. And just Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. I mean, there's so many to everyone in the world. I just wish world peace. That is my prayer. And Happy New Year as well. Good night, everybody. I'll be talking to you in a few weeks. All righty. Night night. Have a blessed evening and enjoy. Oh, above all, this is my motto. Have fun, fun, fun.